Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. I want to read you a verse today out of Philippians 4:13. Paul said this. He said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do everything with Him." Father, I come before you now, and Holy Spirit, I ask you, I can do this. I can speak these words from God's heart if you strengthen me, if you enable me. So right now, we just ask that you touch every heart here and let the things that I say come straight from Father's heart. And we give you praise and glory and honor. We love you, Jesus. I can do all things. I can't do that. That also meant I can't do anything unless you strengthen me. I think maybe that's a good thing for us to be aware of, but we're not without Him, and He does strengthen us, so we can do all things. That thing you were thinking about, and you thought, "I just don't know if I can make it through this. I just don't know if I can handle it." You can do all things through Christ, because He will strengthen you. Okay? I want to read you something out of Matthew 7 real quick. And I'm not putting scriptures on the screen this morning, because I'm going to read a whole bunch, and I want you kind of to be hear what I say instead of be reading. Besides that, you're supposed to read your Bible at home anyway, huh? And I thought, well, if I don't do this for a few weeks, maybe some of you bring your Bibles with you to church. Remember the old days? Huh? I'm messing with you. Out of Matthew 7 says this. Jesus said this. He said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, there are a few who find it." Let me just first say, he's not talking about heaven and hell here, okay? Because it's not hard to go to heaven. The Bible says if we believe in Jesus, confess Him as our Lord, we'll go to heaven. How many of you have done that? Well, now you're going to heaven. Everybody say, "I'm going to heaven." Wait a minute, before you say that, so everybody didn't raise their hand, so everybody in here say this with me. "Jesus, come into my heart. Save me right now. I give you my life. Do something with it." Now, if you said that in a minute, now you're saved. Now, how many here are saved today? Oh, good, 100% participation. Now say this. "I'm saved. I'm going to heaven because they won't let me in hell because I got Jesus in my heart." Huh? I mean, if you're saved, there's no place else you can go but heaven, okay? But he says narrow is the way that leads to life. To life. Now keep that in your mind, because I want to talk to you today. I've entitled today's message, "On Your Way to Serve." On your way to serve. We'll get to that in a little bit. Jesus said in John 16, he said, "Most assuredly," or John 14, he said, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do." Now, how many of you said you believe in him? Okay, all of us. He said, the works that I do, the things that I do, you will do also. Now, I want you to pay close attention, because what I say today, I'll probably say it fast. But I want you to pay close attention, because I'm going to give you today the key to success, the key to reigning in life, and I'm going to show you what the narrow gate is. Whew. Boy, Holy Spirit, you better back me up. In John 15, okay, so he said, the things that I do, what I do, you'll do also. The things, let's think about that. In John 5, he says, most assuredly, that's what he said in John 14. He said, most assuredly, and your King James's say, verily, verily. What he's saying is now this is the truth. Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He sees the Father do, for whatever He does, the Son also does in like manner. You with me? Jesus said, you'll be able to do what I do. But He said, I don't do anything of Myself. Whatever I see Father do, that's what I do. John 6, he says, for I come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. Okay, you're going to do the works that I do. The only thing I do is what I see Father do. I came to do His will. John 4, he said, my food. Do you think maybe he's trying to stress the significance, stress the importance? He said, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. You with me? John 8, he says, I do nothing of Myself, but as My Father has taught Me, I speak these things. And He who sent Me is with Me. The Father who has not left Me alone, the Father has not left Me alone, for I always do those things which please Him. Now, those of you that believe, you're going to be able to do the things that I do. And I only do what I see My Father do. I only do, the things I do aren't me, the things I do are Him. I do His will. My food, my meat, the most important thing in my life is that I do His will and that I finish my job. What He sent me for. John 5, he said, I can of Myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And My judgment is righteous because I do not seek My own will, but the will of the Father who sent Me. Now just let that soak in for a minute. Okay? Because we're almost half done. Let that soak in for a minute. What's He saying? What's His mindset? I came here to do what Father sent Me to do. That was the most important thing to Him. That was His mindset. Now we'll go to Philippians 2. And he's saying in Philippians 2, he says, Paul says, let this mind be in you. What mind? the mind that was in Jesus. Let this mind be in you. And I'll read those verse 12 and verse 2. It says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now keep in mind, we're not talking about heaven and hell. You with me? How many know you can't work out your salvation to go to heaven? It's a free gift. But salvation also involves everything that has to do with our life. How many having to work some stuff out in your life right now? Come on, let's get down, let's get real today. How many going through some things in your life and you're having to work some things out? You're having to ask God, what's going on? You're asking to ask God, what am I supposed to do? You're having to ask God, how can I get through this? How can I please you? What can I do? You're having to work some stuff out. You ever having to work some stuff out that you're fearing? You ever going through some stuff that you're afraid? Ever go through some things that you're weak and you're trembling and you don't know what to do, and you have to go, God, I can't do this without you. But if you'll strengthen me, Lord Jesus, I can do it. Now, much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you. Now let this mind be in you. What's the mind to be in you? Father, I came here for you. You know, we sing songs about, Lord, it's all you, it's all you. But you know, most of our life, it's all about us. Oh, Lord, it's all about you. Oh, God, how am I going to do this? God, what will you do for me? God, will you help me out of this? Just a thought. Let this mind be in you. Father, I came to do your will. I came to do whatever you show me. Whatever I see you do, I'm going to do. Said, for it is... You know, now that's a pretty difficult thing. That's a pretty hard thing to do. But I love this verse 13. It says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. Huh? How many fought a lot of battles in your life of condemnation because you wanted to please God and you knew everything that you were doing wasn't pleasing God, and nothing you did seemed good enough, and nothing you seemed great enough and right enough, and it's just constant battle and battle. He said, hold it. Relax, Hank. I will work in you how to do my will. I'll work it in you how to please me. Whew. Now, I don't know about you, but that takes a little pressure off. And after you meditate on this all afternoon and through the night and the next day or so, it's going to give you some peace and it's going to set you free. He just wants us to want it. Then He does the work. See, your answer is just a decision away. You just make the decision because it's Him who strengthens us so that we can do all things. Well, okay. God, Jesus said, I always do His will. What in the world's God's will? How many ever just thought, well, what, God, what is your will? Well, we read in John 6, He said, I didn't come to do my will, but I came to do the will of Him that sent me. That's what I just read to you a few minutes ago. Okay? But then the next verse in John 6, verse 39, He says this. He said, this is the will of the Father who sent me. For years I went, God, what's your will? And I looked here and Jesus said, this is the will a Father who sent me. And I went, duh. That all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will, verse 40, and this is the will of him who sent me. To everyone who sees the Son and believes in him, that person may have everlasting life, and I will raise them up at the last day. Are you getting it? In John 4, when I read, he said, it's my food to do the will of him that sent me. Jesus is talking about the harvest. He says right after, he says, the harvest is ripe. It's ready to go. He's talking about the lost people that don't know about him. The ones that are on their way to hell, the ones that haven't received him, the ones that don't know about Jesus. He said, it's my meat, my food, to do the will of him that sent me. It's my, put these things together, it's my lifeline, the reason I exist is so that everyone can come to me. And I can raise us all up in that last day. I love 2 Peter 3. Peter said in verse 9, he said, the Lord's not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but he's long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Okay, so what is God's will? I just told you. It's that everyone would come to him. You with me? God's will is, the reason he did everything he did was so that every one of us, everyone watching on TV, everyone listening to this download, everyone could be saved. Now listen tight. His calling on our lives is that we help accomplish his will. I just don't know what I'm called to do. Well, just relax. It's not important maybe that you know the specific things about it yet, but just know that his calling on your life is what it is for you to help accomplish his will. What's his will? Everybody gets saved. Everybody gets saved. I'm going to keep saying that till I either take my last breath or everybody in this whole area gets saved. Huh? But God needs me to help that happen, and he needs you to help that happen. And that's his calling on our life. And our callings, it works to accomplish that end. No matter what your individual calling is, no matter what your profession is, no matter what platform he's given you in life, your calling is to reach people, and your calling will help accomplish that end if you're paying attention. We all have many different assignments, but your calling always leads you to serving the Lord. Now remember what I said a while ago. On your way to serve him. On your way to serve him. Now, the key is, the narrow gate is, You make God's purpose your purpose. And on the way, after you make God's purpose your purpose, on the way to that end, everything in your life will come together. Hear this. I'm saying this real slow. The desires of your heart will come to pass. Everything you do will prosper. When? When you have purposed, when you have made God's purpose your purpose, everything else works. You and I were not made, we were not designed to live apart from Jesus. Now we have all these problems and all these trials and all these turmoils when we don't want to line our life up there. And broad is that way. There's plenty of reasons not to. There's plenty of excuses why I can't. There's plenty of excuses not to do it. But when I purpose, God, it's your way or no way. Narrow gate. But now here's the thing about the narrow gate. The narrow gate doesn't lead us into bondage. The narrow gate doesn't lead us into destruction. The narrow gate doesn't lead us into bad things. The narrow gate leads us into life. And Jesus said, life more abundantly. Holy Spirit, give us ears to hear. When, let me say the key again, when you make God's purpose your purpose, everything in your life will begin to come together. Whatever it is you're facing, whatever it is you're battling, whatever it is you're going through, will start to work out. Matter of fact, that's what Romans 8 is talking about when he said, those that are called, those that love me, and are called according to my purpose. All those things will work out for their good. Somebody said, oh God, everything works out for God's good. No, it doesn't. Sorry, I've went through a lot of stuff that wasn't good and didn't work out for my good because I wasn't called to His purpose. I wasn't focused on His purpose for my life. I'm just telling on myself. I know none of you are that way. Huh? Listen to me. That's what Jesus is talking about in Matthew 6, 23. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and Father will add everything else to you. You hear me? Did you hear me in the back? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and God will give you everything else that you need and desire and all the rest. He'll take care of everything else in your life. You see, but it's not just saying, oh God, I love you, I seek you. That's part of it. But to seek the kingdom of God is simply God being sovereign in every area of my life. God being in charge. God being the boss. God being the ruler, whatever adjective we want to use. God being the one that's in control of every area of my life. He doesn't want to do that just to control you. He doesn't want to do that to put you in bondage. He wants to do that in your life. So what? So you can enter this narrow gate and be free. Paul got so free, he said, man, everything's okay for me. But he said, I don't do the things that are going to make you stumble. He said, man, I'm a place with God, man, where everything's okay. But I'm going to keep my life lined up with the Word. I'm going to keep my life lined up with what God said. And anyway, that's another message. Now, the thought came to me but I've known people that loved God and served Him with all their heart and they didn't have anything. Well, but there's something Jesus said. He said, as your faith is, so be it. Now catch this. Because you have to believe for things to happen before they happen. And so I can serve God and I can be the best servant and I can, and that's commendable. If that's where you are, that's fine. But I can also believe God, but I can use my faith and believe that as I make His purpose my purpose, then He's going to start adding everything else to me. Because He wants me to walk in His goodness. Ephesians says that's why I was created. It said you are His workmanship. You're His creation. That He created you in Christ Jesus. So that the good works that He prepared for us beforehand so that we could walk in them. Hank, I want you to walk in your goodness, in my goodness. I want to do big things in your life. But will you just not go after the big things? Will you come after me? Will you come after me? And if you'll come after me and believe that I want to give you those big good things, believe that, He said, I can bring them to pass in your life. Somebody's got to get this. I'm running out of ways to tell it to you. Joseph, I love the story of Joseph. Joseph on his way to fulfill God's purpose had favor. Now, if you looked at it from Job's side, it looked like a pretty rough journey. But if you look at it from the Psalm side, it says, God sent a man to Egypt. But I wonder what Joseph thought when his brothers threw him in the pit to kill him. And then luckily one of his brothers, it wasn't luck, God moved on the brother and said, no, let's don't kill him. And so then they sold him. I wonder what he thought when he thought, man, here, God, you gave me all these dreams and I'm being sold as a slave. And when he got into Egypt and he got to Potiphar's house and Potiphar's wife accused him of trying to molest her and trying to take advantage of her, and they sent him to prison. And while he was in prison these guys were getting out, and he said, tell them to remember me, tell them. And the guys got out and forgot about him. It looked kind of rough, the journey, but if you'll look every place along the way, when he was in the pit, God's favor turned on the one brother to get him out of the pit and not kill him. When he was being taken to Egypt by the slave traders, that God's favor moved on them and they sold him to Potiphar instead of somebody else. And when Potiphar saw him, God's favor made him important and big. And so the wife, when she did that to him, he got thrown in jail. But in jail, God's favor caused him to run the jail. And even when he got out, God's favor caused him to be number two in the whole nation of Egypt. This is what I want you to hear. On his way to fulfill God's purpose, God added all that stuff to him. How many ever heard of a guy named Norval Hayes? Several. Norval Hayes, I've talked about him before, but you ought to study Norval Hayes. Norval Hayes was a faith teacher from the 80s and into the 90s. He ran with Kenneth Hagin and some of the great faith teachers, and he's still, I think he's up in his 90s now, and I don't know, I haven't heard anything about him in years, but Norval Hayes is a very successful businessman, and he's a faith teacher. Matter of fact, Norval Hayes is a millionaire many times. And he started all kinds of ministries. This angel food ministry that used to be here around, I used to hear a lot about. He started that. He started a whole lot. He's got a Bible college. He started a whole lot of ministries. But he was a successful businessman. And he became a millionaire many times over. One story, and I think I've told this before, but God told him, he said, you take a group of these college kids and you go over to this trailer park over on the other side of town and you witness to them. You hand out flyers, you put flyers on the doors, you witness to everybody in that trailer park. Norval Hayes was on his way to do what God told him. And he's driving down the interstate and his attention's drawn to the side and God says, buy that piece of property over there. He said, Lord, I don't need no more property. I don't want no more property. Holy Spirit said, buy that piece of property over there. He went on to the trailer park and witnessed to everybody in the trailer park. Long story short, he bought that piece of land and with just a short period of time, I don't remember the exact figure, but I think it was he made $100,000 on it or something. Are you hearing the story? On his way to do what God told him, God blessed him. Somebody's got to get this. Somebody's got to hear this. We're supposed to be one of the parts in this town that turns this town upside down. I need somebody to hear me today. God's going to do it with us or without us. I'm just saying you ain't doing it without us. Listen to me. He didn't serve God on his way to be a millionaire. He became a millionaire on his way to serve God. Well, ain't God don't want to be a millionaire. That's good. You don't have to be. Everybody won't be. You'll still go to heaven. God will still love you. But you've got to get the message and get your mind off dollar signs. I'm talking about the favor of God on your life. You go after God's purpose. You go after God's purpose, and if you can believe, He will give you the desires of your heart. On His way to serve God, the blessings came. Young people, listen to me. Some of you will be doctors. Some of you might be lawyers. Some of you might be successful business people. Some of you might just be successful house mothers, successful fathers. But you have a call on your life, and whatever that occupation, whatever that assignment is for your life, it's designed to be a platform for you to accomplish His purpose. Your position is your platform. You make God's purpose first. You go after His heart with all your heart. You go after His purpose and His will, and all these other things will be developed in your life. Make everything you do, everybody, Make everything you do fit into His plan, and He'll take care of the rest. Can I tell you something? The times in my life that I made the most money, most of you know I was a business person here for several years in town, but the times that I made the most money was when I purposed, I put my purpose on God's purpose, and I couldn't wait for Sunday to get here so I could bring my check and put it in. I worked all week, and everything I made, I said, okay, I get to add this much to the pile, this much to the pile, this much to the pile. Listen to me. There's different seasons for different times. I had a season for that. There was a season that wasn't happening in my life, but I was involved in everything that was going on. And anything that was done here, I was part of it. Because my purpose was lining up with His purpose. I wanted what God wanted for my life more than anything else. And while that money thing was happening, I always had a desire. See, I started off here painting the floors down in the dungeon and cleaning out the tunnels that are underneath these seats. And you know, see this pretty material on all these seats. I've helped redo these seats several times. I've screwed these little screws in these bottoms and backs till my fingers were bleeding. I've painted walls in here. My desire when I was doing that and barely had a haircut, my desire was, God, I'd like to be the biggest giver in this church. Did you know that that little short period in the late 80s and early 90s, I went up to James one day and I told him, I said, I had this desire when I first got saved and came here, and I said, I just got to know. He said, Hank, you've made it. You've been the biggest. Now, I'm not saying that. You understand what I'm saying? Because I hope I'm not the biggest now. I'm still trying to be. I still want to do the most. I want to give the most. I want to be the most. Why? Because I want God's purpose fulfilled. Those of you that came in here unsaved today and you prayed that prayer with me a while ago and got saved, that's what it's all about. Those of you watching this on TV, when I say at the end of this, give you an opportunity to ask Jesus into your heart and you do it, that's what it's all about. His purpose. We just get all hung up on the stuff. Listen to me. So I'm not supposed to be a man. That's okay. Some of you on your way to serve God, He'll build your business into being a successful one. Some of you, when you're on your way to serve Him, He'll put that family back together. Some of you, while you're on your way to serve Him, He'll bring those children that have gone astray back into the fold. On your way to serve Him, He'll bring everything in your life together. Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. David was a man after God's heart, and on his way to find God's heart, God made him a king. Huh? Well, delight yourself in the Lord. Are you understanding? Do you want me to start over again? You understand what I'm saying? God, I just want things to go in my life. Then make it your purpose to accomplish God's purpose. Huh? Your calling isn't to be a teacher or a preacher or evangelist. And maybe that will be your assignment, and maybe that's your initial call. But your calling is to advance the kingdom of God. Your calling is to bring people into the kingdom of God. I don't care how good you sing. That's not your purpose. Your purpose is to touch people's lives when you sing, so that they want to come to Jesus. Whatever your profession, that's your assignment. That's not your purpose. Your purpose, let Him use your assignment. Let Him use your platform to advance the kingdom of God. Well, folks, I don't know any other way to say it. So I'm going to read you a verse that sums up everything I've said. Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21. Now, may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of our sheep, of the sheep, may the God of peace, by this Jesus, through this Jesus, by the blood of the eternal covenant, may this God of peace, through Jesus, who strengthens us so that we can do all things, may this God of peace equip you with every good thing so that you may do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. I have read that scripture 5,000 times at least in my life. And I never saw it till this morning. Did you get the message? Did you get the message? Everybody shut your eyes. We're done. If you really want to enter into that narrow gate, now I promise you it's going to cost you something. But I promise you what you're going to get back is going to be 100-fold times more than what it cost you. That's what the Word says. And instead of death and destruction and stealing and lying and all the other stuff in the turmoil in your life, you're going to have life, and life more abundantly. What are we talking about? We're just talking about, used to say it in the old days, I surrender all. Huh? Used to talk in the old days about pick up your cross and follow me. Used to talk in the old days like die to yourself and live to me. I'm just saying, you can enter in to that narrow gate. You just have to make the decision today. Don't worry about all the rest, but just say, God, I want all that you have for me. And if that's you, just say it. God, I want to be all that you can be. Lord, I want my purpose to line up with your purpose. I don't know how, but you said and promised you would work that in me. So I give you my life, and I ask you to do something with it. Now, nobody looking. How many prayed that prayer? How many have that desire in your heart? Is that all? Okay. Okay. If you prayed that prayer in a minute, expect for some things to start to happen. Expect for some, you can look at me now, expect for God to begin to show you some things in your life, in your attitude, in your ways, in what you do. Just, He will show you in a tender, loving way. Why? Because you have made a decision, God, I want you. And when you see those areas in your life, don't panic and don't start trying to figure out how to do it. Just say, God, I don't know how to straighten that part up, but I give you my life. See, I talked with a brother a while ago that's been a long time now, he without cigarettes, and the Lord's helping him get through that. But he gave it to the Lord. You say, well, would he go to hell if he kept smoking? No. But he wants life. He wants to live. And God's helping him. On your way to do God's purpose, on your way to serve Him, He'll add everything else to you. Jim Daniels, he's just stepped out in the lobby, but I didn't ask him if I could share this, but he got a bad report. He got that he had cancer, and the report wasn't very hopeful, and I visited with him and we talked. And in the course of the conversation, he said, I still have stuff to do for God. I want to do those things for God. I'm believing that I'm going to be able to, in other words, he was saying, I'm on my way to serve Him. And I said, okay, let's just agree. And I told God, you can't take him yet because I need him. He went to Anderson a week or two ago. He's had 4 chemos that have not made him sick one bit. He went down there. The doctors were astounded, astonished at how much the tumor had shrunk. I just visited with him back there this morning. I said, how you doing? He said, man, I'm doing great. Get what I'm saying? On your way to serve God, you hearing me? I'm done, but I want this to soak in. Dan Turner, my good buddy, I didn't ask you, Joyce, but I'm doing it anyway. God brought them back to church, and Dan's main purpose was to help me, to edify me, to keep me up, to prop me up, and he got some pretty bad reports. They told him several times, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it but a few months. Every time we'd talk, and I said, well, do you want to stay or go? And he said, I'm staying. God's not done with me yet. I said, okay, then I agree. I said, God, you can't take him. He's not here. I need him. How many years, Joyce? He stayed two or three or four years or something after he was supposed to have been gone in a few months. And when I'd be down, he'd call me and cheer me up. When I'd be wanting to quit, he'd call me and talk me out of it. When I'd call him to cheer him up, he'd cheer me up. On his way to serve the Lord, God kept him. Can I tell you something? He'd still be here now, but he just decided he was done. He called me up. I was in Florida, and he called me up and he said, Hank, that's on Friday. And he said, Hank, I just called to tell you that I'm through. I'm going to go on. And I'm kind of trying to talk him out of it. Wasn't it Monday? He told all his friends, don't worry about it. It's okay. I hope I didn't bring up anything, but you know, I mean, that's the kind of thing it is. We don't die. We don't. We just go on from glory to glory. I just purposed. Somebody came to my house the other day, and they said, "Oh, you have a nice house." And in the back of their mind, I knew what they were going. Yeah, you preachers. I said, "Hey, God gave me this on my way to serve Him." You hearing me? See, I'm telling you, you just go after God's purpose and you just start watching the stuff happen in your life. Are you going to get thrown in some pits? Yes. Are you going to get thrown in some jails? Yes. Not physical ones, not physical ones. Are you going to go through some turmoil and some? Yes. But in all these things, I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Everybody stand to your feet. I said I was done 10 minutes ago. Did you get anything today? Father, I ask that you teach us what we think we know. I ask that you let us hear what we think we heard. Holy Spirit, we've planted some seeds in our heart today. I thank you that you'll cause them to grow. If you're here and you prayed that prayer a while ago when we prayed it, come on down. I want to give you some information and I want one of us to pray with you. If you didn't know you were saved and now you know, and maybe you didn't pray it but you want to and you don't know that you're saved, come on down. We want to pray with you. If you're here today and you want to be baptized in water, come on down. We've got robes, towels, everything you need. We'll baptize you today. If you need somebody just to pray with you about something, come on down. We'll be happy to pray with you. So right now, if you need to come, you come. But in the name of Jesus, I dismiss you. But I speak His blessings into you, His goodness into you. And I believe Him to do big things in your life today and this week. And I'll just tell you right, I want to hear about some of them during the week and next Sunday. You hear me? Everybody say, Jesus, you're wonderful. Hey, I love you. God loves you. You have a great day. If you can come tonight, we're going to have a good time over in the fellowship hall about 6. Be blessed. If you're a first-time attender, I'd love to shake your hand.